What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast. I've got Brett McQueen on the line here. We're connecting via Google Hangouts, as I'm sure he's staying nice and cozy in his house. We're talking about dermoneuromodulation. All right, so as I was kind of talking to Brett, the only thing I know is in college I took medical terminology. I know derm means skin, neuro means nerve, and modulation means to like to change or to create change, something like that. And that's about all I know. So Brett has been on the podcast several times, and he's going to kind of just go over what it is from the beginning and then how it applies to us as athletic trainers and maybe the specific settings and things like that. So this will be sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/dermoneuromodulation. It's all one word, dermoneuromodulation. Again, that's sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/dermoneuromodulation. That'll have kind of some of the answers that Brett says, and then also some of the if any links or anything like that. So without much further ado, Brett, welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks, Jeremy. I appreciate y'all having me back. It's always a treat to come on and talk about some different things. So dermoneuromodulation, you absolutely nailed the definition. Skin, brain, and changing of how it works together. I wish I could say that I coined the term dermoneuromodulation, but I did not. There's a great text written by Diane Jacobs that is called Dermoneuromodulating, and she kind of describes this whole term and how it sort of works. And then there are lots of folks who have kind of taken the term and the concepts and built upon them quite a lot. So when you break it down into its most simple components, everything we do touches the skin. Unless you stick a needle or a knife in someone, everything you do is touching the skin. When we say we palpate the medial joint line of the knee, we're palpating the skin over the medial joint line of the knee. Unless there is a tibia sticking out of the skin, we are palpating the skin over the tibia when we go and palpate looking for fractures or whatever. So everything we do as athletic trainers, the skin is impacted. It is, as you all know, the largest organ in the body. And we can tap into the brain through the sensory motor cortex. Everyone remembers their afferent and efferent nerves. What we do when we touch the skin is we tap into those afferents through different pressures and touches, and we can impact how the brain sends signals back out for either pain modulation or movement correction through the different areas of the sensory motor cortex. So dermoneuromodulation is simply tapping into the skin, sending a message up to the brain, and having it send a new message back down of either pain control, movement modification, giving the brain a warm, fuzzy feeling that it's okay when it's had an area of threat, or any sort of different modulation or manipulation thereof. So there's kind of a broad definition in how we use it. So what else can I answer there for you?
All right, so obviously it's really weird. You said you're going to tap into the skin, have it send a signal to the brain, and then send a different signal back down. All right, so it seems really odd to me that you could possibly change the signal that's coming from the brain by even though you're sending the same signal up. Did I misunderstand that some way?
No, you absolutely did not misunderstand that. So there's different pathways that send information up, and then there's different pathways that send the information down. as if you if everybody remembers back to the modalities class, when you're talking about the different afferents, you've got the A betas, A deltas, and C type fibers. Okay, so the A deltas and C type fibers are your kind of lower threshold pain receptor nerve endings. So they're going to take information from the dendrites and axons out in the periphery. They're going to take that information and send it back up to the brain. With different pressures and touches, you can stimulate the A beta fibers, which are just a faster signal that send the information back to the brain at a quicker rate, because they're larger and more myelinated fibers. So they're going to send information back to the brain to essentially override the slower information coming in. That's going to that information is going to go into the brain, stimulate the periaqueductal gray to release endogenous opiates, such as endorphins and enkephalins. Those are going to come out, and those can send a pain modulating signal back down to the area that is injured, hurt, feeling funky, whatever. You can also, with different directions of skin drag, you can change how someone moves something by essentially stimulating the nerves, the skin nerves over a muscle group. That's what we do when we talk about using things like kinesiology tape, and getting good activation in a muscle group, with manipulating those skin neurons over muscle group. You can send that motor signal back down from the brain to turn that on more or turn it off more, whichever the case may be, what your goal is with the tape.
All right, so obviously kinesiology tape is kind of a hot topic there. You know, there's always a lot of people like kind of poking jokes at it and whether it's effective and the research, whether it shows that it's doing anything or not. But we also know that there's a large amount of psychological impact with things like that. And then also there's way back in the day, I went to SWATA and may actually been the one where I met you in person where you were doing the FMS. There was a guy that was doing the... he was talking about the meridians and the chi and moving that up and down the body and those kind of things. So it sounds similar to that concept. Can you speak about the chi, the meridians, and then the dermal neuromodulation, kind of how they compare and contrast?
Sure. So that's loaded. There's this kind of whole energy around the body, and every tissue in the body has some sort of an electrical current. As we know, there's breaking it all the way down to the atom level, the proton, the positive charge, the neutrons, which are the neutral charge, and the electrons that are the negative charge. Every cell has atoms. Every atom has an electrical charge. And how those different molecules balance out, there is some sort of electrical component. Everything in the body is based on electricity. You know, when we talk about muscle tissue and the concept of muscle memory, well, when you break muscle tissue down into its components, yes, it is highly complex, but essentially muscle tissue is stupid. It can contract or not. It's like a light bulb. It can be on or not. It gets its information from the brain and from the electrical currents through nerves, through synapses. So when we talk about the chi, we're talking about this essentially electrical force field around the body. And one thing that I think that Eastern medicine has gotten right over the years that we have lost sight of in Western medicine is that sometimes your body just gets on threat. And just because there's pain or irritation does not necessarily mean that there's an injury. And I think in Western medicine, we get so hung up on, well, there has to be an injury there. There has to be a problem there. Let's get an x-ray. Let's get an MRI. Just because there's pain doesn't necessarily mean there's an injury. And it could just be that there is a balance problem in the chi, if you will. And that's where we get into the concepts in acupuncture, where you are balancing electricity along those different fascial meridians and electrical meridians. And those are described very well by old authors in both Chinese medicine, and there's some French authors that have described it well also. And essentially all you're doing with those acupuncture needle or very manual techniques is balancing. Sometimes it's a little bit of a hot spot here or a hot spot there. And you can balance that. You can do the same thing with kinesiology tape by taking tissue off of threat. Maybe it's just irritated and needs to calm down. You can certainly do that with kinesiology tape. You know, a lot of times, you know, if you look at the literature on ultrasound, there are a lot of people who have shown really good results with things like with sham treatments compared to actually using the ultrasound. Well, why did the people feel better with the sham treatment? Whether they, you know, obviously they didn't know that the ultrasound wasn't on. Why did they feel better with that sham treatment? Because you are taking something, lightly rubbing it on the skin, which is sending that signal in through the dendrites and the axons of the nervous system, and that touch and that little bit of swirl of manipulation on the skin, that really light feathery touch, is pain relieving. And it sends that signal to the brain of like, I'm okay right here. So that can be another way we can tap in to the skin, just by, it's the same thing when you smash your thumb with a hammer and you squeeze it and it feels better because you're overriding that thrush, that pain signal. Same thing with a lot of other things we do. This is one of the reasons that I hate compression sleeves and a lot of tape jobs on injuries, because if you've got pain in the area and now you're squeezing it, you're going to downregulate that pain threshold, which essentially gives a false sense of security to the body, saying that it's okay. And it may not be okay. So one of the things that there's a lot of people in the literature looking at, and I've talked about this in my ankle taping conversations that we've had before, is if you're downregulating a pain, is that changing the neural output and overall motor control everywhere else in the body? And could that be leading to a greater incidence of fractures or ACL tears or other injuries because we're essentially masking the brain's ability to control movement from being able to fight external forces and protect itself? Did I answer everything in that question?
There was definitely a lot in that question. You know, like you said, it was kind of a loaded question. And then there was also a lot of information, but even just the last thing that you talked about there, the compression sleeves downregulate. One of the things we're in the process of adopting, and we have to go through this trauma-informed care. And so we learn about kids that like need a heavy blanket put on them, to help them feel soothed, but they can't use it all the time, or it does, like you said, it downregulates the pain threshold or decreases the effectiveness of that type of thing. Mm-hmm. Obviously we've talked before about taping and bracing and those kind of things for the ankle, with you before, but, one of the things you mentioned, just the sham treatments, just the gentle touch. And so So it's kind of tricky there in saying, so does this really work or is this just another sham treatment? So I guess let's move more towards the science of actual dermal neuromodulation rather than just rubbing your hands along somebody and hoping that they feel better.
So, yeah, I mean, but essentially that is a lot of the science. So we can look at, and there are studies that have looked at the electrical current coming back down to different areas when you do rub tissue, and what those different electrical signals are doing. There's some new things with functional MRI looking at brain areas that are stimulated when you affect different peripheral tissues and how that information comes back to a pain regulation or changing in the periphery. So the science is fairly new, and we've known for a very long time that if you just do this, well, it'll feel better. And I think there's been an overall lack of understanding in the clinical sciences for quite some time about how it works. But we're starting, as our technology gets better, we're actually starting to be able to measure these things a little bit more effectively. So that being said, we are at the point where we can start to measure those thresholds. Whether the measuring of the thresholds actually matters, who knows? I've said for a long time, you know, if you sprinkle powdered sugar on someone's knee and it feels better, well, okay, you've at least addressed their pain. Does that address their dysfunction? No, probably not. But at some point, we just have to get people out of pain so that we can address their dysfunction. I think a big part of the problem and something where we've missed the boat in athletic training is the mantra has always been, let's get people back. Let's do whatever we can to get rid of the pain and let's get them back so that they can play. That may or may not be the best healthcare possible. Yes, we have to decrease pain. That is part of the disablement model and everything else that we need to do. But are we really fixing the things that we need to fix? And I think dermoneuromodulating can be a useful tool in decreasing that pain threshold and allowing us the opportunity to make good movement corrections as we move forward with our various rehabs and therapies. It's just another tool that can be used, just like, you know, using kinesiology tape, for example. You can use that in a dermoneuromodulating way, but if you're not actually correcting the dysfunctions that are causing the pain or lack of motor input to begin with, then you're probably not delivering the best healthcare possible. And so, yes, this can be used as a Band-Aid, if you will, but it can also be used as a correction tool to help get through those different movement dysfunctions. And I think that's where we have, in a lot of cases, gone wrong as a healthcare model, and that we're just focused on the here and now and getting people back to play without actually fixing a lot of the things.
Okay, so discuss that. We kids come to us because they are in pain, right? Mm-hmm. So we do dermoneuromodulation. It reduces or relieves their pain, but then they stop coming to us so we can no longer address the dysfunction. So how do you balance fixing this dysfunction and relieving the pain so that they continue to do the work? Or do you just say, okay, you have that conversation, look, this is going to help fix the pain. This is what you need to do to fix the dysfunction. It's on you to finish it.
So that's again a loaded topic, and it depends on the setting, how readily able you are to do that. At this point, I'm no longer. I was at high school for a few years. I'm now completely a private practice. So I find that my clientele, since they're paying cash rates for me, are drastically more compliant than what I used to see. But when I was working with a high school and college athlete, they were just simply held out until we were fixed and ready to go. And they knew that if they wanted to get back in, they had to come play the game, if you will. And so as I decrease pain and open up range of motion or other function, I use various corrective strategies to cement that new motion or firing pattern or whatever we just gained. It's a constant balance between relieving pain, relieving symptoms, making this feel better, making it look better, and teaching the body to keep that. And I think that, again, that's partly where we've gone. We've gotten to this model where people show up 20 minutes before practice or a game. All right, make me feel better. Now tape me up. Okay, see you later. And I've always used the argument, would we send a grade one or two ACL sprain back out, you know, in a game or a couple days after injury? Well, no. Well, why would we do that with an ankle? The tissue healing isn't all that much different. So why are we trying to get people back out before the body has had enough time to adequately heal and do its thing? We're essentially sending people back out who still have pathology. And that is probably not the best healthcare that we can deliver. And again, that's been part of the mantra for a very long time in athletic training, that if we want to continue to gain respect as healthcare professionals, we've got to quit sending stuff back before healing has really occurred. So how do I go about it? I hold them out until they can demonstrate to me that they have had adequate healing time and we have worked through our various dysfunctions. And that's just how it is. I also spend a tremendous amount of time working through dysfunctions on the front end so that the preventable injuries are prevented in general, and we don't spend a lot of time working through things that we could stop from the start. So we improve those range of motions, we improve the stability and motor control on the front end, which has ultimately reduced the amount of time, at least that I've found, on the back end. When I was at high school for 4 years, and I had, I think, 5 ankle sprains of all of my sports over 5 years. And all of those were somebody coming down on someone else's foot, or being undercut and landing funky. And so all 5 were contact injuries. We prevented a lot of those issues because we did the work on the front end. So I think that in general, the injury prevention in athletic training has become, well, let's tape it, brace it, here, do some stretches. And that is injury prevention. Well, In my humble opinion, that is probably missing the boat on what injury prevention really looks like, because it should be focused more on quality movement and overall control of the body, rather than just put some sort of an external implement on it and hope it holds together.
All right. So if I want to incorporate this into my practice, talk to me about like how I can learn more about it, how I can begin doing it. Do I need to get a certification? And then some of the real life practical places that I might do that.
Yeah. So, I mean, you can do it really anywhere in the body. If there are a couple different resources I would recommend, it would be the Dermoneuromodulating Text by Diane Jacobs. Anatomy Trains by Tom Myers, that goes through a lot of the fascial lines and talks about the cellular structure and electrical structure in different meridians in the body to help you understand that. There are certainly different tooling courses that you can go to, or taping courses that you can go to, that I think offer really good education in that. I've been through a lot of them. I think that of the 8 different taping courses I've been through and the 7 different tooling courses, I think that there's some brands that in thought processes that have a little bit better education and do it a little bit better than others. Trying to avoid being specific on purpose because I don't want to necessarily show any bias. But I think there's all sorts of resources out there to look at. Those are certainly a couple. There are different folks on YouTube that you can find who use some of these practices. But basically, if you touch the skin and you move it in a direction and it feels better, then you have done some sort of dermoneuromodulation. And you can use that in rehab. You can certainly have people go through different movement while dragging their skin. A lot of my throwers and stuff who tend to get that just forearm soreness and tightness, when you look at it, the range of motion isn't bad. Their strength isn't bad. It just kind of gets irritated. When you think about the physics of how much motion and how much change in direction they're having through this form of flexors, extenders, in throwing, that's a lot of torque and everything on the skin. So sometimes I'll just have them put their fingers on the skin, drag it, and go through that motion. And a lot of times that takes care of the issue. It's kind of like that comfort blanket on the tissue. Obviously we've ruled out any other pathology to make sure that we're not doing things unsafely. But for those general sorenesses and tightnesses, that's what we'll do. Runners, same thing. If they just get that kind of one irritated spot on their leg, they'll have them drag the skin in a different direction that makes it feel better and just flex and extend or rotate their leg or hip. And that can yield a lot of pain relief or discomfort relief, if you will. And those are just some easy self-treatments that I have people do. So hopefully that's helpful.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's an opportunity to add something to your toolbox, add something that might help. Again, doing the thorough evaluation, don't just do this and then send them off, but do the thorough evaluation, kind of watch what they're doing, figure out what's going on, focus on correcting the dysfunction, and then do this to help relieve the pain. And if you do sprinkle powdered sugar on their knee and it feels better, then they're a soccer player and, you know, it's dermoneuromodulation of some sort, right? So you're using the touch of the skin to positively affect change in the patient outcome. And really that's what we're about, is improving the patient outcome. Another thing we need to do as athletic trainers is to slow down. Our job isn't to get them back on the field. It's to get them back on the field safely. Right. And so, again, I feel like we've kind of done a pretty good intro. Can you talk about any of the specific cases that you've had using dermoneuromodulation?
Oh, sure. I've got, oh gosh, there's so many. Well, here I'll take probably one of my favorite ones that I've seen in the last few months. The gentleman is an interventional cardiologist. So the guy who goes in, puts stents in, and does, you know, surgeries after heart attacks or blockages, whatever, was just having debilitating pain to the point where he could almost not even stand for longer periods of time to do heart surgeries safely. It had been progressing over, I think, 6 years. He'd seen 4 different orthopedic specialists, 7 pain management docs, half a dozen or so chiropractors, been through, I think, 8 different rounds of physical therapy. He, you know, trying to lift and run and be healthy and do all these things, and was wanting to just run a 5K with the family, and just was having insane debilitating pain. So his wife was an anesthesiologist who happened to be working with the physician who signed up on my business one day. And they're talking. Anyway, he comes to see me, and in 3 different sessions of just working on taking his tissue off of threat and skin drag and different tooling things and a few different just very low threshold corrective strategies, we had the guy pain-free for the first time in 6 years. And a lot of that is just the same postures and ergonomics over and over and over and over again. His body didn't like that. And so we got the tissue off threat, taught it how to function properly again, used some kinesiology tape to help hold those new patterns, and remind his tissue where to fire, when to fire, and got him pain-free and operating fine and safe again. That's probably my favorite case recently. I've got another guy who is just under a year out of a Achilles tendon rupture, and is in the process of training for a ultra marathon. Why anybody would want to go run 65 miles, I will never understand, but that's what he wants to do. So, we're helping him get there. You know, certainly he worked through all that with physical therapy from the healing standpoint, but was just still kind of having a nagging, low threshold irritation. We used several different, interventions, used some dry needling on him, and other movement correction things. And he's now, all the different tightnesses and irritations in that leg are gone. And he's up to, I think his long run now is 35 miles a week. Should go up to 40 miles a week, I think next week. So getting him going, training, just again, with a lot of that skin drag, skin modulation, and just taking the brain off of threat.
All right. So it sounds to me just, it's another opportunity, another tool that if you're open to expanding, if you're open to different possibilities, then this is something that could really help you. And again, you said the book by Diane Jacobs, Dermo-Neuromodulating.
Yep.
And so I think I actually have a link from, like, on Amazon to that, set up on the page, whatever this is called, the website. It's for sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/dermo-neuromodulation. See, now I keep saying it backwards and people aren't going to know where to go. Dermo-neuromodulation. So, all right, Brett, any other thoughts or considerations for using or maybe even not using this?
You know, I even when, and I'll say this, everybody is already using some sort of dermoneuromodulation. Every time you palpate a patient, you know, I know we've all had those things come in and you're like, okay, are you really injured or hurt? And you'll evaluate them, you don't really find anything. And after their evaluation, they're like, well, I don't know, I actually just feel better from coming in here. Well, you touched the skin, and so therefore you've touched the brain. You have impacted their brain. And just by that skin touch and palpation, you have impacted it in some way. And so my biggest encouragement is don't put this on a pedestal and think that, oh my gosh, I don't understand the brain or the physiology or anything like that. You're already doing it in some way, shape or form every time you palpate an area for an evaluation, or you do different manual therapies, massage, all that stuff. You're already doing some sort of dermoneuromodulation, but you can just expand on your knowledge and understand the different vectors of skin drag and different parts of the brain that you impact when you do that. So really it's just expanding on what you already do. So don't put it up on a pedestal like, oh, that's a big, long, scary word. You're already doing it. It just might be something that you want to learn more about.
All right, so I do have a quick question. In an injury evaluation, you're putting your hands on somebody's knee to evaluate and they're like tensing up because they're injured. Do you have any tips in using this type of stuff to help them relax, to reduce the pain there? Or is it more of a long-term, like next day type effect?
Yeah. So, I mean, just immediately kind of the same principle that I talked about when you smash your thumb with a hammer, just kind of, I'll just put my hands on them and just kind of almost like a warm hug, around that knee if they're starting to tense up or whatever. And it, you just barely touch sometimes, and you'll impact it. If hands are too much or too threatening, wrap a towel around it, or something. And again, just that low threshold touch on the skin, like you were talking about with the weighted blankets, a lot of times is enough to just kind of down regulate the threat around that tissue, enough for you to get your hands on it and get a good evaluation. And I mean, I use that all the time, especially when people are tensing up or it's pain tensing up, you can just really gently kind of lower that threshold a little bit, using some very basic dermoneuromodulation, just putting your hands around it, almost giving the area a warm hug, to decrease that threat.
All right, I like that. That's an awesome little tip there. So with that being said, any more dermoneuromodulation thoughts you'd like to share? Again, you can give the warm hug. Again, that's another tool that we can use. It's positively impacting the patient outcome using touch, which we're already all doing in some form when we evaluate or we do any sort of manual therapies, right? If we never touch the athlete, then they're still getting some sort of touch from the TheraBand or whatever. It may not be quite as effective. So any other thoughts about it?
I think that's pretty much it for a good, entry, summary. And, I'm happy to have a conversation with anybody who wants to learn more, and, they can get in contact with you and you can get them in contact with me. So, always happy to have that conversation and just look for different educational opportunities to learn that stuff, with different taping or tooling or, hands-on courses. 'Cause they are out there all the time. Certainly I have my favorite, education philosophies, having been through pretty much all of them. That is up to you to decide.
All right, very good. This is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/dermoneuromodulation with Brett McQueen. So again, dermoneuromodulation, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com. And I'll have links to how to get a hold of Brett there if you want to continue the conversation. He's usually open to doing some sort of video call. He's also been around different places speaking. So if you want to bring him out to one of your workshops or something like that, it'd be a great opportunity. So Brett, I appreciate you jumping on and working through. We had a fire drill today and some other little issues, but I appreciate you again continuing to help us grow as athletic trainers. And without much further ado, that is a wrap. Thanks, Brett.
Absolutely. Thank you.